Blog Talk Radio. Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello. Thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio episode number 79 with your host, Jason Brodsky. First, we have from Forbes.com. Can't keep strawberries fresh? Researchers suggest adding CBD. Written by Emily Erlenbaugh. December 8th. The recent study found CBD can keep strawberries fresher for longer. Having a hard time keeping your strawberries fresh? It's a fairly common problem. You bring home a carton of bright, vibrant strawberries. But before you can actually finish them, half of them have gotten moldy or wilted and completely unsuitable to consume. This leaves strawberry consumers with the decision to make eat those strawberries right away or accept that some will go to waste. But now, researchers at the University of Southern Florida are suggesting a surprising solution to this fruit dilemma, adding a little bit of CBD. In a recent study published in Post-Harvest Biology and Technology, researchers experimented with adding CBD oil to fresh strawberries to see if it would help keep the strawberries fresher for longer. And the results showed that CBD was not only effective at extending the strawberry's shelf life, it also inhibited yeast and mold growth and reduced microbial load. CBD, or cannabidiol, is a chemical found in cannabis and hemp plants. Still, despite CBD's origin in cannabis, these CBD-coated strawberries would be unlikely to leave you feeling like you just ate a cannabis episode. Oh. CBD or cannabinol. One second, reconnecting here. Hello, I'd like to make a live call. Will the Wi-Fi please hold? Hello, Wi-Fi. Will you be my friend? Well, that's doing the stream. And I will have to keep trying this. Fantastic. CBD, or cannabinol, is a chemical found in cannabis and hemp plants. Still,
welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, you press it.
Yay. This is the fun part of the show.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press.
To start your show now, press 1.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Thank you. Back on Smoke News Radio, through voice over IP, Wi-Fi, through many different slices, we now keep information for you. For CBD, or cannabinol, is a chemical found in cannabis and hemp plants. Still, despite CBD's origin in cannabis, these CBD-coated strawberries would be unlikely to leave you feeling like you just ate a cannabis edible. Unlike other compounds in cannabis, such as THC, CBD won't cause cannabis characteristic high. Instead, CBD is usually utilized by those looking for medical benefits like reduced pain, anxiety, or inflammation without the high. An FDA-approved version of CBD called Epidiolex is even available to treat serious seizure disorders in children. Given CBD's usual uses, it might be surprising to see it recommended as a fruit preservative, but scientists have known that for some time that CBD has antimicrobial properties. Still, research has been limited when it comes to investigating using CBD in this way. Researchers on this study wanted to see whether CBD might be effective as an at-home treatment that consumers could use themselves to extend the shelf life of their strawberries, keep them looking fresh, and reduce the chance that microbials, mold, and yeast would grow on them. To test their theory, they first evaluated some fresh strawberries for their visual appearance and tested their microbial load. Then they treated some of the same fresh strawberries with CBD oil and left other strawberries from the batch untreated. Afterwards, they refrigerated the strawberries for 8 days, some at 1 degree Celsius, 38.8 Fahrenheit, and others 10 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. After the 8 days were up, the strawberries were once again evaluated for their visual appearance of quality, and their microbial load was tested. When compared to the fruit that hadn't been treated with CBD, the strawberries with CBD oil scored higher on visual appearance of quality, even exceeding the minimum threshold rating score of 3. The CBD-treated strawberries also had a lower microbial load and did not grow mold or yeast. The researchers on the project explained that, quote, "This research shows that CBD oil has the potential to be used by consumers at home as an effective antimicrobial treatment and to extend strawberry shelf life." Excuse me. Of course, before you run out for a spray bottle of CBD to spritz down your berries, it might be a good idea to check with your doctor about whether CBD is right for you. While generally considered safe to consume, especially in the low quantities you might ingest on CBD-treated strawberries, CBD can interact with certain medications. Written by Emily Ehrenbach. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we have from ProjectCBD.org, wasted plastic packaging, cannabis biomass, and throwaway vapes. Written by Aaron Miguel Cantu and Martin A. Lee, and read to you by Jason Brodsky. The cannabis industry has a waste disposal problem. Whether it's gnarly solvents used in the manufacturing process or leftover biomass that must be destroyed or extra packaging required to make products impossible for a child or otherwise competent stoner to open, legal cannabis creates a lot of waste. Tons of it. It's appalling how much packaging is used to sell a few legal buds. A Canadian broadcasting company report suggested that a gram of weed sold at a licensed storefront in Canada where a legal cannabis industry opened its door in 2018 can produce close to 100 grams of packaging waste. The problem of excess cannabis waste is rooted in the legacy of criminalization that now manifests as unnecessary overregulation. Paradoxically, cannabis overregulation is generating a huge amount of extra garbage. Single-use packaging may be the most obvious problem of waste for consumers. Walk down a sidewalk near a cannabis dispensary in Los Angeles or Seattle, and you'll likely see small plastic tubes and tamper-proof bags that are far larger than the items they once held. A principal intent behind single-use packaging is to more tightly monitor and control the plant's sale. But it has created an enormous problem of excessive waste, with as little as 1 gram or a single pre-rolled joint meriting its own plastic container. Figures provided by Handset, a cannabis data analytics company, indicate that 32.5 million units of cannabis pre-rolls were sold in California in 2020. A unit in this case could mean a single pre-roll in a plastic tube or as many as 10 to 20 pre-rolls in a carton. And 53.6 million packets of loose manicured bud in childproof containers were also sold last year in the Golden State. The oversized plastic packaging for these units often ends up as street litter or as refuse in a garbage dump. States that have legalized cannabis require each product to include a large amount of labeling, such as health warnings, identification numbers, soil, and other crop production inputs, as well as testing information and cannabinoid composition. Because of these labeling requirements, packages end up being significantly larger than the actual product requires, according to a June 2020 report published in the Golden Gate University Environmental Law Journal. And most of it is destined for the landfill. The biggest problem with packaging and labeling are the numerous regulations that result in extra packaging being used to fit everything on the product, the Law Journal notes. Colorado regulators recently adopted new rules that make it somewhat easier for cannabis consumers to recycle their stash-related trash. Dispensaries in the Centennial State are now allowed to offer packaging receptacles in their lobbies. In January 2021, the Airfield Supply Company, a cannabis dispensary in San Jose, California, implemented a similar recycling program, but this is the exception, not the rule. Owing to the current patchwork of legalization regimes, there's no central authority tracking cannabis waste in most states, let alone across the United States. California, for example, has three separate state agencies with their own waste management regulations for different parts of the cannabis production process. And Canada does not track cannabis waste packaging at all. A handful of startups have identified the enormous waste problem as green business opportunity. Ron Basik-Smith, one of the young entrepreneurs behind Sana Packaging, spoke with Project CBD about his company's efforts to develop one of the few brands based solely on sustainable packaging for cannabis products. He and his partner, James Eicher, both recent business school graduates, are using hemp, reclaiming ocean plastic, and other non-petroleum-based materials to create a closed-loop business model that generates no waste, with their packaging materials either recycled into further use for non-biodegradable plastics or discarded in a way that does not accelerate pollution. The model is based on Ellen MacArthur Foundation's definition of a circular economy, which aims to design waste and pollution out of the economy while keeping materials in constant use and helping to regenerate natural systems. So far, Basak-Smith says Sana Packaging has worked with 370 customers, mostly in the United States, with a handful in Canada, Puerto Rico, and Guam. And Basak-Smith goes on to say, if cannabis producers are using regenerative agriculture practices to cultivate their products, they need to think of things like packaging as an extension of that. You don't want a disconnect between producer and consumer at the point of sale because of unsustainable packaging. It's all part of a bigger picture. Another business at the precipice of innovations in cannabis packaging is SunGrown, an Oakland-based packaging company that works directly with customers to design sustainable custom packaging made of completely compostable materials. According to the company's website, its printing process uses water-based coatings and soy-based inks, and we are proud to source our materials domestically. Polycana, a Colorado-based enterprise, emphasizes hemp-sourced sustainable packaging options, as well as creative recycling and upcycling strategies for mitigating cannabis-related waste. The main focus right now, Polycana CEO Tyler Couch told Ganjapreneur, quote, is to find viable solutions for the single-use, oil-based plastic that the industry currently has while we integrate bioplastics. The trick is finding a way for single-use plastic to never reach to oceans or landfills in the first place. As the industry evolves, new forms of cannabis consumption will likely necessitate new ways to package and properly dispose of waste. Vape cartridges are a prime example of something few imagined would be an issue a decade ago, but now poses a challenge for sustainability advocates. In 2019, CannaCraft Incorporated, a major cannabis producer based in Santa Rosa, California, modified its manufacturing process to child-proof vape cartridges without adding extra single-use plastic, an innovation commended by the California Department of Public Health. CannaCraft produces 2 million vape cartridges annually. The following year, 27.8 million plastic vape units. Were sold in California, according to Headset. But when OMG Farms, based in Arcata, tried to initiate a bring-back program for customers to return used vape cartridges to dispensaries, misguided regulations in California made the program unfeasible. Vape retailers have struggled to figure out what to do with cartridges. Inevitably, they end up in landfills because California and other states bar recycling plants from accepting waste that has come into contact with cannabis products. The Sacramento-based nonprofit Up Kindness sponsored an art exhibit last year made entirely of vape cartridges to raise awareness of the issue. Meanwhile, proposed legislation in California intended to address similar waste from tobacco vaping appears to have gone nowhere. The New Jersey-based business TerraCycle has developed a national recycling program for vape cartridges, as well as other kinds of cannabis packaging. It's part of the company's larger mission to partner with businesses and local governments seeking to dispose of hard-to-recycle waste, such as coffee pods and other plastics. TerraCycle operates various recycling programs in 21 countries, but its only cannabis-focused waste program is in Canada. In 1988, Francis Young, the DEA's chief administrative law judge, unexpectedly and accurately declared in a non-binding legal opinion that cannabis, in its natural form, is one of the safest therapeutically active substances known to man and is safer than many foods we commonly consume. But regulators in states that have legalized cannabis continue to treat the herb as if it's a deadly radioactive poison that must be handled and disposed of in a special way. Just as many state regulations require excess cannabis packaging and prohibit their proper recycling, cannabis biomass can also be difficult to dispose of, not because it's a dangerous inorganic material, but because red tape in many states doesn't allow mixing waste from the evil weed with other materials. Illinois, for example, requires any producer that wants to destroy cannabis waste must notify the Department of Agriculture and state police, and possibly must also have an employee from the Agricultural Department or another state agency present during the destruction. Reefer madness never seems to end. Aware that the time-sensitive composting is an inefficient disposal method for many cultivators, Micron Waste Technologies, based in Vancouver, Canada, says it has found a solution to onerous regulations on discarding cannabis biomass. The company's Canivore method essentially pulverizes cannabis waste into water, mixing it with microbes and enzymes until it can be reused as water to irrigate cannabis crops. The process does not emit methane, which is a problem with other methods of obtaining produced water, and the company claims the water can also be sent back into municipal sewage once it has removed all active pharmaceutical ingredients in the crop. And then mushroom mycelium and hemp herd. Hemp mushroom composite clone planters are now available too. Several other companies are developing hemp-derived solutions to address the issue of cannabis industry waste that state regulations have either ignored or outright exacerbated. Paradise Packaging in Butte County, California, produces a unique cardboard-like composite made of hemp and mushroom mycelium that's suitable for shaped or molded packaging material and other uses, which are applicable for many types of merchandise, not just cannabis products. The hemp mushroom composite, quote, is 100% bio-based and 100% compostable. Paradise Packaging co-founder Sian McCarthy told the Project CBD, also, it's water resistant and fire resistant. In addition to packaging and shipping containers for a wide range of products, including cannabis tinctures and wine bottles, Paradise Packaging is marketing biodegradable mushroom hemp composite seed starters and planters for cannabis clones. And McCarthy goes on to say, there's a huge demand for this material, who appreciates the astonishing versatility of low-resin industrial hemp, a plant with tens of thousands of potential applications, to which we should add one more sustainable hemp-based packaging to mitigate the growing problem of waste generated by the cannabis industry. All right. Well, I believe we did not talk about the cannabis waste enough. So we got another one from Green Entrepreneur. Cannabis packaging is polluting the world. Written by Esther Choi, March 11th, 2021. This story originally appeared on Cannabis and Tech Today. It's not just the turtles and the fish we need to worry about. Humans are now breathing in microplastics from all types of packaging, according to the lead researcher of a Utah State University study. Microplastics are turning into dust and are contaminated with toxic chemicals, plastic fragments, and metals. These contaminants are in 4% of the air we breathe. The cannabis industry's interest in pollution awareness is escalating rapidly. Both the consumer-level cannabis communities and the cannabis industry must begin or continue investing in eco-friendlier habits. As an estimated 150 million tons of cannabis waste is being produced annually, the importance of sustainable packaging solutions has never been greater, as the cannabis industry is becoming a bigger part of our living planet. Plastic components are often seen in cannabis packaging. It's what consumers are surrounded by when walking into a dispensary. The Medicinal and Adult Use Cannabis Regulation and Safety Act of California mandates packaging to be child-resistant, tamper-evident, and resealable. There are false claims circulating that the laws require a significant amount of single-use plastic waste to be produced. In response to that claim, Michael Salemi, founder of the packaging company, says that it's simply not true, that it was never the case. He explained, established innovative manufacturers have had no issues engineering alternative, sustainable packaging. The large amounts of plastic used in this industry are from cannabis companies who have simply chosen to use faster, cheaper packaging solutions. The packaging company is a no-stock manufacturer because of the waste that is created from a company with an in-stock operation. Like the packaging company, there are packaging providers that have the ability to provide their customers the opportunity to go 100% eco-friendly with their raw materials and inserts. Bioplastics are not biodegradable packaging. They're compostable. Bioplastics are not the ultimate sustainable solution as an alternative plastic, but it's still an eco-friendlier solution. For example, polylactic acid thermoplastic is a bioplastic often made up of plant-based polymers such as hemp, cornstarch, sugarcane, or cassava. The PLA is often falsely advertised as biodegradable. In an interview published by Boulder Weekly, the hemp plastic company, THPC, shared that hemp is biodegradable, but hemp plastic with polypropylene is not. Notably, of the four hemp plastic options listed on THPC's website, only one is fully compostable bioplastic. The other three all contain plasticizers like ethylene, propylene, and acrylonitrile butadiene styrene, making them non-compostable. PLA is not biodegradable, but compostable through specialized industrial-grade composters. That's after being properly routed there. So if a consumer doesn't take the extra step to toss away their packaging properly, it's guaranteed to live the rest of its forever life as regular plastic in the landfill. On the positive side, with proper awareness for consumers and attraction from sellers, bioplastics are a great sustainable alternative. According to IOP Science's 2017 study on greenhouse gas mitigation on plastics, corn-based bioplastics can reduce industry-wide GHG emissions by 25%. Robert Swan is quoted as saying, "The greatest threat to our planet is the belief that someone else will save it." This proves that being green takes a collective effort throughout the whole cycle, from the conception of the cannabis product to the engineering efforts of the packaging providers, and finally, to which bin the consumer will throw away their finished cannabis packaging. One of the leaders in the large-scale production of premium, sun-grown organic cannabis is setting an example for the cannabis industry in sustainable operations. The Mendocino Grasslands was officially established in 2017 in the heart of Mendocino by Ian Powell, a 25-year cannabis cultivating veteran. Mendocino Grasslands are in the business of providing starters and clones to surrounding growers, wholesale flowers to white label companies, and now they're hitting the shelves with their own pre-rolls, flower, resin, and extracts. The packaging for their products are made of glass, recyclable materials, and recycled ocean plastics. Adam Donahue, marketing VP of Mendocino Grasslands, explained that sustainability is a key decision when selecting their packaging partners. Here, let's try this. Da, da, ch, da, da. Listen to smoke.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
To start your show now, press 1 to hear important instructions.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Hello, back with Smoke News Radio. Adam Donahue, marketing VP of Mendocino Grasslands, explained that sustainability is a key decision when selecting their packaging partners. Quotes, "We have always made decisions to reduce our overall carbon footprint, our primary source of energy for our whole operations are from our installed solar panels." And Donahue noted that being sustainable is just a part of what they already do, being mindful of the environment that provides us with our goods. The cannabis industry has created positive benefits in the medical and recreational aspects, as well as providing funding for state and community programs, with both the initiation of companies who started their operations mindful of the carbon footprint and the efforts of sustainability advocates. There is potential to develop highly sustainable practice standards that will lead the way for a carbon neutral industry. All right. Thank you. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. From theglobenewswire.com, industrial hemp market worth $27.72 billion. Smoke News Radio. Radio, radio. Smoke News Radio. Smoke News Radio. Radio, radio. Smoke News Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
Start your show now. Press 1. To hear important instructions, press 2.
Smoke News Radio.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Thank you. Back in touch with Smoke News Radio from globenewswire.com. Industrial hemp market worth $27.72 billion globally by 2028 at a 25.17% CAGR from verified market research. Rising awareness among cannabis about the benefits of industrial hemp, increasing legalization to cultivate industrial hemp in many countries, and rising application of industrial hemp in diverse industries such as textile, pharmaceutical, food, beverage, personal care, construction and material, furniture, and paper is expected to drive the market for industrial hemp. The industrial hemp market by type The hemp seed oil, hemp fiber, CBD hemp oil, and application, food, beverages, personal care products, textiles, and pharmaceuticals. By sources, organic and conventional, and by geography. According to verified market research, the global industrial hemp market was valued at US$5.66 billion in 2020 and is projected to reach US$27.72 billion by 2028, growing at a CAGR of 25.17% from 2021 to 2028. Increasing application usage in personal care, food and beverage, textile, and biocomposite industries is projected to drive industrial hemp market size. The rise in hemp oil demand on account of high essential fatty acids content, which prevents and alleviates ailments, is the factor contributing to the industry growth from the food and beverage sector. Industrial hemp is extremely renewable resource. Once harvested, the crop has a high yield of edible proteins and fibers with more than 50,000 product applications. The demand for industrial hemp products is increasing by the day, owing to the increasing awareness towards health among the consumers. The growing shift of cannabis towards natural products is a significant driver for the industrial hemp global market. Industrial hemp has a large number of end users, like paper making, textiles, biodegradable plastics, fuel, construction, and healthy food. The major players in the market are Hempco, Ecofiber, Hemp Inc., Gen Canna, Hemp Flax BV, Conoplex Group, Hemp Oil Canada, BAFA, Hemp Poland, and Dunn Agro. All right. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host Jason Brodsky, I'm going to run through the quick listings of these of the bustings here from WKBW.com. Border protection officers seize over 1.3 million worth of marijuana at Peace Bridge from the United States Customs and Border Protection. All right, just regular traffic stops. And then from the nydailynews.com, New York police dog, Indiana, sniffs out $8 million worth of marijuana. And then next from apnews.com, North Macedonia police make big marijuana seizure of 500 kilograms and arrest three. Okay. And then next on Smoke News Radio, we have Thailand has high hopes cannabis can cure the coronavirus blues, from scmp.com, written by Vijitra Duangdi, read to you by Jason Brodsky. Tom Kruspon, a veteran Thai investor, says Thailand is going to be a $50 billion business from growth and cannabis extraction of CBD to products in the next 5 years. For this region, Thailand is the only game in town for the foreseeable future. Thai law allows the extraction of CBD and cannabinol compound from the cannabis plant for its reputed medicinal benefits, which span from aiding sleep to easing inflammation and pain. However, tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, the psychoactive part of the plant that causes the user's high, remains illegal and must be separated in a complex process. Backers of the fledgling industry predict that Thai firms will soon be exporting cannabis-based cosmetics, snacks, and toothpaste, while medical tourists will pour in to use high-quality CBD oils at wellness facilities. We will be the experienced friend for our neighboring countries. We can work with them to build our own regional economy, said Chris Tiracasol, the managing director of Global Triangle Group, which has cultivated its own mother plant called Raksha, a strain high in CBD content, in northern Chiang Rai. And goes on to say, I like to follow the footsteps of vitamin markers. That's what the future of cannabis and cannabinoids is all about, health and wellness, rather than getting high. At a Swish Bangkok restaurant, a who's who of Thailand's cannabis players came out for a recent hemp tasting and promotional event hosted by the cannabis-focused consultancy Elevated Estate. Health Minister Aungtun Sharvirakul, who has headlined the legislation drive, met celebrities and investors while guests sampled ganja ice cream and discussed the health benefits of hemp-based dental products. Aungtun says, like all plants, this plant has both good and bad uses. Sugar is sweet for you if you only have one small spoon, same as salt and chili. As long as Thai people know how to use the useful parts of this plant and never compromise on quality or exceed the legal use of this plant, the sky's the limit for this business. However, while hemp products have been legalized, a complex web of licenses and provisions tightly control cultivation, sale, and development. Meanwhile, smoking, growing, or selling marijuana for recreational purposes remains illegal and can attract heavy punishments with jail terms up to 5 years for possession of less than 10 kilograms and up to 15 years of possession of or intent to sell more than 10 kilograms. Critics say the morass of laws will exclude ordinary people and independent farmers from benefiting from the country's more liberal stance. Chewit Koloskovit, a massage parlor owner turned colorful politician who is exploring cannabis business ventures, says the government needs to unlock everything, because if they don't, the benefits will fall only into the hands of the tycoons. Smoke News Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
Smoke News Radio.
To start your show now, press one to hear important instructions.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Smoke News Radio. Yes. As Sherwood Kosovitz, the massage parlor, goes to speak, The government needs to unlock everything, because if they don't, the benefits will fall only into the hands of tycoons. I'm far too familiar with the Thai-style governance. You can smell it, but you can't eat it. You can chew it, but you must not swallow it, he adds. One of the original marijuana-themed cafes, Highland, in Bangkok, is open for business. Farmers can, in theory, grow 6 plants each at home, but they need first to establish a cooperative and gain a license in a country where connections are needed to cut through bureaucracy. The government has promised to buy top-grade dried flowers with a CBD concentration of 12% for 45,000 baht. That's $1,500 US, a kilo, from these cooperatives. A kilo of rice goes for 240 baht, but uptake has been limited so far, with just 82 co-ops registered so far, according to the government. It's just dreams the government sells to the poor, an illegal cannabis plant grower said. And says, grassroots people will have no access to the industry without good connections and money. I've spent over $1 million baht, $33,000 American, to master my growing techniques. What resources do farmers have? There are currently over 300 medicinal cannabis clinics registered across Thailand, with another 400 traditional medicine centers, which are allowed to prescribe cannabis oils. But the green rush has left some of Thailand's original cannabis advocates feeling queasy. Chokan Kitty Chopaka, founder of Elevated Estate and the country's first marijuana-themed cafe, Highland, said government and public knowledge of the benefits and uses of hemp have been lost as the money monster has got a hold of everyone. On her wish list is the wider legislation of hemp seeds as on her wish list is the wider legalization of hemp seeds as a superfood, so one of Asia's culinary capitals can pivot its cooking skills to feed a vast new market of healthy eaters and deal in poor farmers in the process. That's where Thailand should focus and empower farmers to take part. Okay. You guys will like this one. Next, from WMTW.com Action News, police trained to spot cannabis impairment, written by Ross Ketchekske from Auburn, Maine. Police departments from around the country are learning new skills to keep up with the growing number of states legalizing cannabis use. In Auburn, on Friday, more than 20 officers from around New England underwent specialized training to spot the signs of impairment if those suspected of driving high. The Maine Public Safety Training Institute, an independent law enforcement education company, put on the day-long course. Officers spent time in a classroom setting reviewing the basics of impairment, cannabis legalization, and field sobriety testing. The training ended with officers putting their skills to the test with a group of volunteers. The volunteers each consumed various amounts of cannabis through traditional flower, concentrate, and edibles. One person in the group remained sober. Once the effects had set in, groups of officers took turns using the standardized field sobriety tests to determine which of the volunteers would be considered legally impaired during a traffic stop. Dan Thompson, the MPSTI education director, said, "Just because you smell cannabis doesn't mean the person is impaired. We have some people who don't consume cannabis at all, and we have officers try and arrest them." In Maine, the legal limit for blood alcohol content is 0.08%. However, Thompson said, unlike alcohol, there is no set benchmark for intoxication that makes a person too high to drive. Instead, officers must look for signs like loss of balance, reaction time, and cognitive function to make the judgment call in determining if the suspect is unable to safely draw. Factors like age, medications, and tolerance for THC can all impact the way THC affects the user. And the fact that someone has consumed cannabis does not mean they're legally impaired. You could see it through their body with the tremors and the sways, said Taylor Stroop, a patrol officer with the South Portland Police Department who went through the MPSTI program. You have to really focus on what they're presenting through their body. MPSTI is one of the only of its kind in the country, with agencies from across the country traveling to Maine to take part in their program. You guys are, thank you for listening tonight. Smoke News Radio, Jason Isaacoff-Brodsky, your host. I'm glad to find some things you need to know out there, especially about all the cannabis waste and all the things going into the environment, except for, you know, all the taxation. That's a big problem too. But there's also, you're buying all this stuff, and also who's making the money, you know, the corporations. You know, see how it goes, see what's happening in Thailand as the money people are getting their things. Love, thank you guys for listening so much. I got Jack Johnson on recorded, who throws down the news how he sees it. Thank you so much for listening. Smoke News Radio, episode 79. Jason Isaacoff-Brodsky, love you so much. Have a good night.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the terrible sight. Well, Mama said, it's just make believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright?
90 seconds.
Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. On the news tonight.
60 seconds.
The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. Why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But Mama said, it's just make believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby.
10 seconds.